you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And I met a gal in a Pentecostal church who were part of a Pentecostal family. And I've been around this thing for a while. But the longer I live, I will just say this. I was telling Judy yesterday, you know, I've got to look this up. In Acts 21, it says that the disciples, including Luke and Paul, the Apostle Paul, were going to be traveling from Caesarea over on the coast. Oh, Hanan Atescu, Messianic Jew, he called me this week, and he's so excited to come and speak with us again. And he said, please tell the people to continue to pray for Israel. But while all the conflict is going on, many young people are coming to Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. So over in Caesarea, over on the coast there, the Apostle Paul and others were gathered together, and they were going to go to Jerusalem. It's always called going up to Jerusalem because it's higher in elevation than everything else, right? The Dead Sea is the lowest spot on earth. So you go up to Jerusalem, even though it's south on the map, you know. And it says there in Caesarea that they met one called Mnason, spelled M-N-A-S-O-N. The M is silent, Mnason. And the scripture says he was an old disciple. Which means like he goes back to what? You know, like feeding of the 5,000, who knows what. Was he on the day of Pentecost? Was he there? Probably, you know. Well, can you let this old disciple, that's me, read to you from Acts chapter 2. This is the birth of the church. It's not the birth of the Pentecostal movement. The movement is secondary. The establishment of the church is primary. The lordship of Jesus Christ is the purpose. But you're going to need some help. Jesus promised to not leave us as orphans, but he would give us help. So I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's valuable for reproof and correction, instruction, training in righteousness. But there's some of these chapters and some of these verses that just demand special honor. And I feel so honored to read to you today from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. There you go, Ryan. This thing of being united, being together. In fact, I'm just going to say it this way. One of the things that I heard when Ryan was speaking is, let's make Jesus primary and some of these other things that are important secondary. Just keep Jesus primary. Primary thing will keep us all together and in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at that verse number 4 just again. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In this case, I think it was pretty much involuntary. They were just waiting on God. They had no preconceived idea what this would look like. Suddenly, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, which is such an unfortunate word because you have a tongue, but a tongue is also a language. As the Spirit was giving them utterance, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, because it was the feast day. This is one of the required days when all the men have to go to Israel. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered. So it's the sound of the wind, it was the sight of the fire, and it was the sound of a multitude of people, 120 of them, praying in tongues. Verse number 6, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. How the world needs to hear Jesus in their language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in their own language the mighty works of God. It's really the, in heavens, whatever language that is, all the nations, all the tribes and tongues, this was a taste of heaven. Jesus being worshiped in people hearing it in their own language. It was a gift of hearing as much as it was a gift of tongues. And they were all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. This is the first time for Peter. Peter is like a new man. I'm going to read this sentence and then I'll let you sit down. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Amen. Oh God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for pouring out your Spirit. We thank you so much that this Spirit is available. He's with us. We are born again by the Spirit of God. And we are empowered by the Spirit of God. We're created and recreated by the Spirit of God. We're encouraged by the Spirit of God. We're comforted by the Spirit of God. We're not orphaned because of the Spirit of God. We're not alone. God is with us. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. All right. I read the testimony. It's up to you, brother. If you're going for it, now's the time. Okay. All right. Shall we vote on it? Okay, so we're going to have to go with what I brought to share with you. Five benefits to praying in the Spirit. This is not obligatory for me. This is the secret sauce. This is what changes everything. I know only Jesus could save us. How many of you understand? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession. And all the world will gather around him and worship him at some future day. But the Spirit is here to get us from today to there. The Spirit is the active agent of the Godhead on the earth today. We can say Jesus said this to me, and it's very likely true, because when you were born again, his spirit joined your spirit. How many of you know that his spirit is the Holy Spirit? Okay? So the spirit that was on Jesus is what spoke to your spirit, and when you heard the word of God, the gospel, in whatever measure, whatever way it was given to you, the Spirit of God was the one hovering over your spirit, and your spirit that could give a rip about God earlier in your life all of a sudden was awakened, and you saw Jesus. And so he, the Spirit, resurrected your dead spirit. Your spirit was dead towards God. It was alive towards yourself and a lot of other things, but it was not functioning. So we're born again by the Spirit. So when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, I believe that what probably happens is that someone who has been born by the Spirit, that the Spirit of God that is united to their spirit, their human spirit, the part of you that lives on forever, that the Spirit of God joined to your spirit, it moves and fills your soul. Your soul gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the joy and the ecstasy and the ability to speak comes because the Spirit of God that was in the believer has filled an empty spot that, quite frankly, our souls need healed. Our souls need delivered. Our souls need instructed. Our souls need to be healed. When the Lord finds us, we have not only a dead spirit, but we have broken souls. So counseling brings healing to the soul. Discipleship brings instruction to the soul. The Spirit of God just begins the inside work of revealing God to us. And so if we're predestined to anything, Paul, the apostle, says in Romans that it was to be conformed to the image of God. So we don't come to church to learn how to be like God as much as we come to church to worship God, to experience God, and to sit under his word. How many of you know that we all sit under his word? We're all here under his. It doesn't matter who is speaking. What matters most is that we come under his word, and his word begins speaking to us and creating life and changes, you know. So anyways, with that, listen to my encouragement as an old disciple from Wormleysburg, not Caesarea. When I was younger and was born again, I was a young teenager. I was filled with the Spirit when I was about 18. I just graduated from school. And boy, it would have been helpful to have been filled with the Spirit when I was in high school. That would have been amazing. Parents, talk to your kids about the Holy Spirit. Don't hide it from them. Don't hide it from your neighbors. Don't, you know, sometimes we're guilty of saying, I want to invite these people that I work with to church, you know, but, you know, sometimes crazy things goes on there. Let me tell you something. Have you lived in the world? Crazy things are going on in the world, too. Let them come and experience a good kind of crazy, you know. Everything's supposed to be decent and in order, but yet there are things that are unexplainable except through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. So I would never be afraid to invite people to church just because we're filled with the Spirit. Expose your kids to it. I'm telling you, it just makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. So here we go. Number one, praying in the Spirit. And do you want to change the slides for me this time? Because then I can keep my notes up in front of me. Number one, praying in the Spirit. These are five benefits to being filled with the Spirit. And by the way, I should say that when we say praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in an unknown tongues, it's all talking about this phenomena that we read about in the book of Acts, not just in chapter 2, but other places throughout the book of Acts, that the Spirit gives us the ability to pray in a language that we don't know. And it could be earthly, apparently, according to 1 Corinthians 13, it could be a heavenly language or angelic language. We have no idea. I don't think that we need to figure out what language it is. We just need to participate in it, you know. So for me, the benefits are many, but the first one I want to talk about, the first benefit is when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying to God. One of the things it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 2, for anyone who speaks or prays in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. So it's spirit-to-spirit communication. Now, let me tell you the benefit to that. Is it bypasses your brains. The gray matter. The part of us that struggles with faith, logic, and such cause us to get sidetracked in our faith. Give you an example. Abraham, you are going to have a child, and in this child, the whole world will be blessed. Okay, so he's becoming rather old. His wife was never able to have children. Now God's telling him he's going to have a child. He takes him out, and he points up to the sky at night. He said, you see those stars? Okay, you're going to have descendants like the stars in the sky. And you're going to have descendants like the sand of the seashore. What objects? It's not always the devil. The devil does, but it's usually my mind that says, how can that be? Carly shared with us last week Zachariah's problem and how Mary responded in faith so much better, in such a better way. But I don't know about you, that you know, the more active your mind, the more difficult reasoning with faith can be. I don't know if I'm alone in that, but reasonable people say, okay, like if there's a sense of something happening in the room, what is it? Where is it? How is it? How is it some people are feeling it and other people don't feel it? And actually, are we feeling or are we sensing or discerning the present? But if your mind is active, you start thinking along those lines. Guess what? When the Spirit prays through me, when the Spirit in me prays through me, past my mind, because I don't know what he's saying, I don't know what I'm saying, it goes directly to God, and God knows what the Spirit's saying. Can I tell you what a benefit that is? It just bypasses your brains. Now, I know that there are some people who would object to that and say, that's very, very simplistic, and you shouldn't, you know, ever do anything you don't know what's going on. hello. Much of life, we have no idea what's going on. You turn the switch on, you don't really know what's going on, but the lights come on, you know? I've shared this story before. Judy and I were, you know, we've lived here a little while. And when our kids were younger, you know, they had friends and we had neighbors that we had met and whatever. And there's one gal came to us and she was in a panic. Her young son, do you remember how old was missing? Can't remember. Young guy, really young guy. And your brain, if you live here in Wormleysburg, you know, you think railroad. When someone's missing, when a child's missing, you think railroad track, highway, River. That's where your mind goes. And so she came to us in a panic. Her son had been missing some time. I don't know. And she asked us if we would pray for her and for this child. And I'm sure it was the Spirit of God within me. The Spirit just spoke to me. And I just asked her, I said, do you mind if I pray the way I want to pray? And she said, go for it. So right there with an unbeliever who had no context, no experience, I just started praying in tongues. How many of you can pray when you want? And, you know, you just switch to that. I started praying in tongues. We started praying. And after it was all over, I don't remember what she said, you know, but, you know, you know, you're saying, okay, well, that either worked or it didn't, you know. His mom was very distraught. And a few minutes after that, we got word. He was found, safe and sound. I'll take that risk anytime. I'm sorry. Sometimes it's life and death. It really can be a matter of life and death. So praying in the Spirit is praying directly to God. It bypasses your brain. All right. So is there someone back there to change the slide for me? Okay. Well, then let me go change it. There we go. Thank you. All right. Now, number two, praying in the Spirit is praying according to the will of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit is God, direct connection to Jesus, direct connection to the Father. He knows the will of God. Can I talk to you about the will of God for just a moment? Something that we haven't really thought through very much. Yesterday at the wedding, one of the things they wanted to read was Psalm 139. In verse number 16, it says in there about how that God sees our inward parts. He knows us before any of our days started. And he's established a number of our days. And he writes them in his book. So here's what I think. I am not certain that our stories are written completely, as in we are predestined to do certain things. But our number of days have been predetermined. Now, there's things that can extend that time, I believe, and there's things that can shorten that time. I also believe that. Obviously, with unborn children, God created them with a number of days that would extend beyond their abortions, right? That was an intervention. So there can be interventions in our number of days. But here's the thing, is that our days are numbered. Everybody has an expiration date on their life. Just turn around, look at your collar. There's an expiration date in there somewhere, you know? No one gets out alive. So here's the point that I want to make to you, is that even though our days are numbered, our stories are unfolding and being written. So like, all things can work together for good. No one would wish a divorce, but a previous marriage created children and grandchildren and family. No one would wish that away. I believe that our story really begins the moment we start praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. The moment you and I begin praying that way. So being in the will of God is kind of a big deal because you only have a certain number of days. Hello? So the Spirit of God knows the will of God. So when I pray in the Spirit, the Spirit knows what God is trying to do. So here's the trick. When I don't know what to do, I pray in the Spirit. Again, bypassing my brains, bypassing my understanding. Have you ever tried to craft a prayer in your mind that you thought, like, if I want to pray the right words and get this right because I want God to hear it and I want him to answer it? Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how many times I've sat at a desk or I've stood at someone's place of employment. I've been somewhere with people and they're looking for help. I know the Bible has answers. I know God has answers, but I haven't a clue how to move forward. I don't have a clue what to do next. And I will pray under my breath in tongues. And I'll say, oh God. And then I just go for it. And I pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what God's trying to do. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a lousy counselor. If I were a good counselor, Judy and I would never have intense fellowship like we do sometimes. If I were such a great counselor, I would know what to do with my life more often, you know? When you say, I have regrets or I have things I would do differently, you know? If I were such a great counselor, I would have just done those things. Honestly, I cheat. I rely on the Holy Spirit because I don't palm read. I don't read people's faces. I don't read their posture. I just look and listen. And the Spirit of God knows not only my spirit and my heart, he knows your spirit and your heart, and he knows what to do in any given situation. So praying in the Spirit, for all the criticisms that we get from our friends in the church, especially, for all the criticisms, one thing we can say for certain is the Scripture says that when we pray in an unknown tongue, we're praying according to the will of God. Whereas I like to say, when the words get in the way. I know that there's an issue about the sign or the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. I love this fellowship. I love our denomination. I love the Assemblies of God. I love this group. I love others as well. But I don't think that the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus, is so misunderstood. I don't think that the Spirit wanted us to ever use him as a gauge, as a measurement. I don't know about you, but I just want to be full of the Spirit. And I want the ability to pray in the Spirit, whatever that looks like or sounds like. I just want the ability to pray according to the will of God and go right past my brains. I hope you understand how important that is. Third, when we pray in the Spirit, it prepares us for difficult assignments. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 11, Jesus said to his disciples, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. We had invited Ron Meyer to come here to the church. We had just moved into the facilities. Some of us had begun reading the book, Fivefold Ministry Gifts by Ron Meyer, and his book about eldership and such. Out of Dove Christian Fellowship here in Lititz, Ron became a good friend. Steve Prokopchak became a good friend. Eventually, we met Brian and a few of those guys, you know, and they just became good friends to us. They would come here and minister at times. So Ron had really impressed me with the stuff that he had written, and I invited him here to speak. And he said to me, he said, when he came that particular Sunday, which, by the way, at the time, the Methodist Church was meeting right where you sit, and we were renting the other side. And we had a little room where Annie's got her little class going on right now, this artwork thing that she's got going on, a little side hustle there. I think you should check it out. But downstairs in the room, Ron Meyer and I walked into that room just to find a place to pray before the service. Well, let me just tell you something. A few weeks before, we had come in early. Their service was still going on, and we had made a little too much noise. And the Methodist Church reminded me of that. It's the first time I ever heard a pastor swear. It's the first time I've ever been sworn at by a pastor. We made a little too much noise. Okay. So sorry. Very, very, very sorry that we didn't mean to interrupt. That room is right below us. A couple weeks later, Ron Meyer, let's go pray. So I thought we were just going to pray, oh Lord, direct us. And as soon as we walked in that building, I mean that room, Ron just lit off in the spirit. I mean, he just started praying. I'm like, whoa, okay, we're gonna go there, you know. So I joined him, and we were praying in tongues. We were having a great time, and like as soon as something happened, I don't know what, he just stopped. Okay, I'm ready. Let's go. he had an assignment to do. He was going to be speaking. And so he said to himself, we only have a little bit of time, let's pray in tongues. Right. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, message in tongues needs to have an interpretation so everybody knows what's going on. Message in tongues, interpretation, it's the same thing as a prophecy. But a message in tongues without an interpretation is confusing, you know. And so Paul says something like this. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in a service, I would rather speak five words in the known language than 10,000 words in tongues, so that people could be edified, trained, taught. I, far be it from me to argue with Paul, but I'm going to just turn it around for my purpose. That's in the church. But in private, I'd rather speak five words in tongues than 10,000 words in English. Because I would rather pray five words in an unknown tongue than 10,000 words in English. Because the Spirit knows. He prepares us for difficult situations. In other words, when you look at Jesus, what Jesus is saying, you guys don't know this yet, but I'm going to become very controversial. It breaks my heart that some of the fiercest enemies of the church in years gone by have been Jewish people. Because it makes it really, really hard for me to say to you, as I do, that the scriptures remind us that there's a veil that's partially blinding them. They haven't seen Jesus, and it'll only come away when they see Jesus. And yet we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we're to remember that they're the root and we're the branch. We're to remember that their God is our God. Well, all we have to do is look at the Apostle Paul and see his testimony. He was a persecutor of the church, and he was convinced he was doing God's will. This is very difficult to explain to people today, that we should love, support, and encourage, and pray for our Jewish friends and brothers and sisters, knowing that many of them would turn on us in a moment. Jesus is preparing his disciples, and he's thinking, you have no idea. This, we have so ingrained the teachings of Moses to give people a handoff to lead them to Christ. But if you don't accept Christ, you just cling to Moses and the laws. When you cling to that, you have to let go of it to embrace Jesus. And his disciples had no idea what fierce enemies they would become to the church. I can actually show it to you in Scripture. It was difficult even for the apostles. But how many of you know that there's in Christ no division between Jew and Gentile, between male and female, between bond and free, or any race or any ethnicity? There's not. No language barriers. In Christ, we are all one. But the thing is clinging to Christ. So Jesus is telling his disciples something that they don't have a paradigm for, and that is that they are going to be dragged in front of the synagogues they once worshiped in. They are going to be dragged before high priests and priests in Jerusalem where they once worshiped. And their crime will not be that they have broken the law. Their crime will be that they have seemingly rejected Moses. Jesus said, when they bring you there, and there is no winning that situation, the Spirit of God will give you a word. And that promise is still true today. When you need a word, maybe a word of comfort, maybe a word of encouragement, maybe a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, the Spirit of God is able to give it to you in the moment that you need it. The Spirit of God changes everything. So I'm just going to ask you as we close the service today. We're not going to get through all the parts. Just going to ask you to consider your heritage. I'm going to ask you to consider teaching your children and your grandchildren, sharing your testimonies, and the importance of the Holy Spirit. But I got to tell you, I would much rather experience the work of the Holy Spirit than to talk about him. But here's what I've figured. Jesus honors the Father, and the Father honors the Son. And it's clear that both of them love the Spirit. But it's even clearer to me that God has so ordained it that it is my job, it is our job to talk about the Spirit and to honor Him. The Father will honor the Son will honor the Father, and we need to honor the Holy Spirit. Would you please stand up with me? Father, I'm asking right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would take us beyond an adjective such as Pentecostal or Spirit-filled. Take us beyond that kind of descriptor. Take us beyond that and cause us to be the people of God who show honor to the Holy Spirit, who yield their lives, yes, even their tongues, to the Holy Spirit. People empowered by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the gateway into the supernatural lifestyle. So, Father, I'm asking that as you have clearly shown that your promise, the promise of the Father, was the Holy Spirit, that promise you've kept. We have a history of being people of the Spirit, but I'm asking that we become people who have a testimony and experiences with the Holy Spirit. Father, I'm asking that you would cause us to be the people empowered by the Spirit of the living God. I don't need fire, I don't need smoke, I don't need wind, I don't need rain, but I desperately need the Spirit of the living God empowering me to be more than I am, to be all that you need me to be. And I pray that there would be a company of people right here at Cornerstone who'd begin seeking the experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, people who begin receiving the Holy Spirit, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are full of the Spirit. I'm going to interrupt my prayer and just tell you something. Honest confession. I don't pray in tongues as much as I used to. Do you know why? When I need to, I do. But you can be filled with the Spirit and you can stay full of the Spirit. But when it begins to wane, it's time to lift our hands. It's time to begin to pray in the Spirit. It's time to call on the Lord in the Spirit of God. And I just sense by the Spirit that, you know, this atmosphere is heavy with the presence of God right now. So just reach out to Him and just tell it. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, just ask Him. If you need to be refilled with the Spirit, just ask Him. If you need to stir up the gift that's within you, just start it. Just do it. Just go for it. I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would here, now, today, begin stirring the church. Because a church with a liturgy, a church with a Savior is still incomplete if the church is without the power of the Spirit of the living God. So help us, we pray. Fill us, we pray. Fill our children with the Spirit of God and our grandchildren, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that children will wake up in the middle of the night praying in tongues. You know, just I pray that people would start having experiences when they're quiet before you. Lord, I just thank you that the Spirit of God doesn't stay in a building. It's not resident in a box. It's not resident within, but you seek to fill the empty places to heal and to restore, to empower. Holy Spirit, come. Fill your children with the breath of life.